We now begin a whole new Seder of Mishnayos. This will be the introduction to Seder Moed. As you know, the Mishnah is divided into six Sedarim, six orders. The first of which is Zra'im, seeds, which we just finished. And now we have Moed, which means appointed times, let's say. It's loosely translated, that's the holidays, the Jewish calendar. And after that, of course, we'll have Nashim, the Zikin, Kachim, and Taharos. So before we spend the next, give or take, year learning Seder Moed, I thought it made sense to do a bit of introduction, an overview of what we're going to see, and to actually define the nature of Moed. What is a Moed? So the word Moed itself, like I said, means a meeting point in time. That is to say, the same way the Ohel Moed was the tent of meeting in the desert, as described in the Chumash, and you have like the same root of va'ad is like a meeting. So a moed is also a meeting place. This is a meeting place in time, like a nexus in time. And to understand what that means, we need to explore for a brief moment the Jewish view of time and to really contrast it with how the secular notion of time and what it is. So Newton famously wrote in his Principia Mathematica that time flows on, unobstructed, equally, regardless of the events around it. It marches on with no real relationship to what's happening in time. It just flows by itself. And although the nature of time, as we understand it, since the time of Einstein, does certainly implicate the observer, still, most everyone would agree that there's no real relationship between what goes on in a particular time to the time itself. So just the same way there's in space, you could put anything you want into a particular space. You can put whatever you want on the moon. You can build a hotel. You can dig a hole. No difference. Nothing special at a particular spot on the moon. So too, and no, it happens to be a particular date in the calendar. There's nothing particularly significant, objectively significant about this place and time. That is certainly not the notion in the Torah view. Furthermore, when Western notion of time is when you look through that lens, so time sort of has no particular beginning, even if there was a big bang, but so then it has just a legal beginning, but it goes on forever, it flows linearly, just keeps on going, and there's no necessary, it just goes, time just goes, one more day, one more year, and so on. There are notions in Eastern cultures that time is cyclical, it goes in a circle, and so you repeat things again and again and again, time's one big circle as opposed to a line, but both of those actually are not the Jewish view at all. Both those views essentially suggest there's no sort of teleology, no sort of plan and progress as time progresses. But that certainly is not the case as the Jewish view of time. The Jewish view of time is that there was a specific beginning by God, and that's Bereishis. And there's a specific conclusion at the end. That'll be Yimos Mashiach, Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba. So there's a specific endpoint toward which we're headed. And the world is moving towards what's called tikkun. It's the world is improving. And the way in which that improvement happens and that development, that spiritual development happens, is through what's called avoda. We're expected, Jews are expected to do avoda and thereby perfect themselves, their souls, and the spiritual constituents of the universe to at least have a role in bringing the world towards its perfection as it could be. So time is a progress, and it progresses over that, let's call it 6,000 years. That's the core portion of what's relevant for the progress. And the Hebrew word for the units into which those 6,000 years are broken is shana, a shana which means a year. Now, fascinatingly, the word shana is a contronym, that is to say, that's a contronym, C-O-N-T-R-A-N-Y-M, it's a word that means, essentially, the definitions that it means are opposite one to the other. Just like how in English you could have words that are contronyms, like cleave means to break something into two and also to stick two things together, and dust means to sprinkle little sugar on something and also to wipe away all the bits of sugar, to dust it away, and sanction means to legally proscribe or to, it could mean to encourage. And so on. So the word shana actually means two opposite things. On the one hand, Shana connotes like the word Mishnah, which means to repeat again and again. So the word, they call Shana Halachot, whoever repeats and learns Halachot every day. So the word Shana means something that repeats again and again and again, because every year we have another Rosh Hashanah, and then next year another Rosh Hashanah, next year another Rosh Hashanah. And on the other hand, although it's repeating itself again and again and again, at each time it changes. The word Shana also can mean like Mishuna, like to change, like a Shinui, when you do something in a different way on Shabbos, etc. So the word Shana implies both that there is a repetition, we come back to the same point in time again and again and again, but as we come back to the same point in time over and over, there's progress. So the Jewish view of time, the Alter of Kalim described it as being like a spiral. So there is progress. We are going from the beginning, Bereishis, to the end, Yimos Mashiach, Tchias Meisim, Olam Haba, but not in a straight line, more like in a spiral where you come back to the same place again and again and again. That is to say, for example, that although the Jews went out of Egypt in 2448, and now we're currently in the year 5780, so there have been 3300 and change times that we've observed Pesach, but actually, in the Jewish notion, there really is just one Pesach, one Moed called Pesach, one nexus in time where we visit Pesach. That's Zman Cherusenu. It's a time that's Mesugal, that's almost pregnant with Cherus, freedom. And we revisit that spot again and again and again. It's really just one Pesach we come back to again and again. The best metaphor I can give for this, that I can give anyways, is if you're familiar with the game Monopoly. So you play Monopoly, it's a game, it has a beginning, it has an end. There's only one park place, only one free parking, different spots on the board, and you come back to them again and again and again throughout the gameplay. Each time you come back to park place, the basic rules that govern park place or govern free parking are in effect. But as the game progresses, you might have houses or hotels being built on park place, so therefore, you know, the application in that particular place and time might change. But similarly, the Jewish course of Jewish history as we progress through it, so we'll come back to Pesach again and again and again, and the rules will be in effect that apply to Pesach. And that's what makes it a moed. It's a meeting point in time. It's a nexus in time where we have a specific opportunity to interface with Hashem in a particular way. There's something it's mesugal. It's something that's an opportunity to be harnessed at the time of the moed. And therefore, these moadim, these meeting points in time, really are like sort of like the guideposts and the centerpieces of the historical process that sort of in spiritual terms guide us through our avoda as we attempt to perfect ourselves and our world, bringing it towards tikkun. So the Jewish year, let's focus on the Jewish year for a second, essentially has midoraisa, just five moadim. So it's not so complicated. There are three regalim, three pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, as well as the two Yom Noraim, the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, as well as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. In addition to that, we certainly have one more Shabbos. Shabbos is a moed, but it occurs every week instead of once every year, and actually is the most important and holy of all the moedim. So that's a separate thing. So, but that is the full content of the moedim midoraisa. In addition, there are seven derabanan moedim. Two of them are festivals. That's the festival of Hanukkah and Purim. And five of them are fast days. The most significant, of course, is Tisha B'Av, the day which commemorates the destruction of both temples. We also have other fast days connected to the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, including Asara B'Tevis, which was the beginning of the siege in the Second Temple period, as well as Yud Zayin Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, which was when the walls were breached 3 weeks before the destruction in Ba'al Sheni time. We also have Gimel Tishrei, the third day of Tishrei, right after Rosh Hashanah. That's called Tzom Gedalia, which has to do with the loss of sovereignty, the final loss of any control, I should say, in Eretz Yisrael in Bais Rishon times, First Temple period times. And we also have Tainus Esther, which happens right before the holiday of Purim on the 13th of Adar. So in total, then, you have five fast days: Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Tevis, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, Tzom Gedalia, and Tainus Esther. So those five, plus the two rabbinic holidays, Chanukah and Purim, make seven. Those are the rabbinic moedim. And again, you have the five more Doraisa, the three regalim, the two Yom Noraim, plus Shabbos. That is the sum total of the moedim in the Jewish calendar in the year. Now, in Seder Moed, which we're going to now encounter with the Mishnayos, there are a total of 12 Masechtas. The order of the Masechtas, I happen to believe, like Rav Uva Margolius and the Margolius Hayam, that the order of the Masechtas as we have them is simply just in decreasing number of chapters. So the longest of all the Masechtas in this Seder Moed is Shabbos, which has 24 chapters, so it comes first, and Chagiga has just 3 chapters, it comes last. I'm well aware that the Rambam and the Meiri go to great lengths to explain the order, but notwithstanding, we'll just go with that simple explanation, because if we try to map those 12 Masechtas onto the Moedim as I described in the calendar, it's a little tricky to see the rationale. You can look at the Rambam if you want to see another approach. So if we map those on, we see that let's go through the order of the 12. So the first Masechta is Masechta Shabbos, and that, of course, teaches the Lachos of Shabbos, which is the Moed all to itself. The second is Erevin. Erevin focuses on one of the specific 39 Malachas, the Malach of Hotza'ah, of transferring from domain to domain, and the rabbinic implications of that, which is before more than I want to say the second. So, but Shabbos discusses the 39 Malachas in general, primarily. Erevin focuses on the rules of transferring from domains, as well as Tchumen domains, other kinds of rules of domains. Those are the first two. Then we have Psachim, which is the first, which is, talks about Pesach. Basically, the first part talks about Chametz Matzah, the second part talks about the Korban Pesach, but it's about the holiday of Pesach, the first of the three regalim. Then you have Shkalim. So Shkalim talks about the collection of the half shekels that were used to fund the communal offerings. Doesn't go with any particular Moed on the list. Then you have Yoma. Yoma discusses Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippurim, so that's the second of the Yom Noraim. Then you have Sukkah, which is talking about Sukkahs. There we'll discuss the Lachas of Sukkah, as well as the Araminim and Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Then you have Beitzah. Beitzah, which means egg literally, basically talks about the Halachas of Malach as they apply to Yom Tov, which are a little different than those of Shabbos. A lot of mukta over there in Beitza, etc. Okay, so that goes essentially on all three of the, well, let's call it all three of the regalim plus Rosh Hashanah. Okay, then you have Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which discusses two topics. It discusses Rosh Hashanah in its second half. Really, its first half primarily focuses on the halachas of Rosh Chodesh, which is a topic all to itself. Once a month, there's a renewal. The word Chodesh from Chadash, it's Chadshut, to renew. There's a renewal, much as the moon recycles and renews every year, every month. So too, there's a renewal every month spiritually with Rosh Chodesh. That's also discussed in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Then you have Maseches Tainus. Tainus will basically discuss those first four fast days that are related to the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and in Tzom Gedalia's case, the last of the Jews being of control being removed from Israel. So that's Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tevis, Yudzayin Tammuz, and the third of Tishrei. And then you have Maseches Megillah. Maseches Megillah will address both the rabbinic holiday of Purim, as well as, to some degree, the Tainus Esther on the 13th of Adar. Finally, you have Moed Katan and Chagiga. Moed Katan, which literally means the minor festival, something like that, is teaching the halachas of the intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot. So Chol HaMoed, as we call them. So the Chol HaMoed days, the halachas are in Moed Katan, and they apply to Pesach and Sukkot. It also, by the way, talks about Hilchos Avelus, mourning as well. And then finally, Chagiga. Chagiga focuses on the Korban Chagiga. There's a special mitzvah when one participates in the Shalosh Regalim and shows up in Yerushalayim to bring two specific korbanos, Olos Re'iyah, and a burnt offering when one is seen, and the Shalmei Chagiga, the Chagiga, the festive offering, which is Shlamim, it's peace offering, it's shared amongst the people who bring it, as well as the Mizbeach and the Kohanim. on Pesach Seder, Bez Hashem, when we have the basic English back, dinner will not be the Korban Pesach. Dinner will be the Chagiga. We'll eat a Chagiga, and then for dessert afterwards, Al HaSova, when we're full up, then we'll eat the Korban Pesach. So the Chagiga is the egg on the Seder plate. We mourn over the loss of the basic English. We can't bring the Chagiga. That'd be the main meal. The dessert, the Afikoman, is reminding us of the Korban Pesach. Okay, so those are the 12 Masechtas that'll be in the Seder. Shabbos, Erevin, Psachim, Shkalim, Yoma, Sukkah, Beitza, Rosh Hashanah, Tainus, Megillah, Mod Katan, and Chagiga. And if you map them on to the calendar of the Moedim as I described them, so you have, first of all, you have Shabbos, goes on to Shabbos, and that includes Erevin also. Then you have Rosh Hashanah as Masechas Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur has Masechas Yoma, those are the Yom Narayim. As for the three Regalim, Pesach has Psachim, and Sukkah has Sukkah, but there is no Masechta that deals with the Moed of Shavuos. The reason why is because there's really no specific halachas that apply to Shavuos that don't apply, that aren't covered in Chagiga or in Beitza, etc. With the exception of that there is the Shtei Halechem, there are two loaves of bread that are brought as a special offering on Shavuos and waved. And those Shtei Halechem are dealt with in Maseches Menachos. In the 11th parak, Menachos is dealing with the various meal offerings, so Shavuos gets all its attention just there. So there's no Masechta on Shavuos. As for the rabbinic Moedim, we said there are two festivals and five fast days. So of the two festivals, we do have Purim, Maseches Megillah. We do not have a Masechta for Hanukkah. Hanukkah has no treatment directly. The sugyas of Hanukkah really just appear in a couple pages in the second chapter of Maseches Shabbos in the Bavli. And why there's no Maseches Hanukkah, if you will, it's an interesting question. Lots been written about it. Opinions and suggestions range from they didn't need to have one because another Tanaic source called Megillas Tainus, lays out the basic halachas of Hanukkah. There are other thoughts that maybe Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, who ordered the Mishnayos, was not comfortable and happy with the fact that the Chashmonaim or Kohanim took the temporal role of leadership in the Jewish people at the time of Hanukkah and didn't give it back to the house of David. So he was disapproving of it. And my friend, there's a great work written on it recently. If you want to do more about it, you can see Dr. Elazar Brot. Dr. Brot wrote a thorough piece recently about all the suggestions about why there is no Maseches Hanukkah. Be that as it may, there is no Maseches Hanukkah. And then of the five fast days, so we have Maseches Tainus, which discusses fast days. Tainus also discusses, by the way, the fasts that go when they're, that are implemented, in the series of fasts that are implemented when there is not sufficient rain fall in Israel. Okay, and finally, Tainus Esther on the 13th of Adar has, you know, not a Masechta itself, certainly, but the halachas are relevant from Tainus and of Megillah. So that is then the topic and the scope of what we'll be discussing in Seder Moed. And in the next recording, I will do an introduction to Maseches Shabbos Bez Hashem.